You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Mornings are always a little bit easier after a Sacramento Kings victory. The Kings opened up the Golden 1 Center, their first preseason action there, with a W over the Phoenix Suns, 105-88, where defense was king. We saw a lot of tangible improvements, and we're going to discuss it all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season, all preseason. It does not matter. We have game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews, all you could want surrounding the Sacramento Kings, and I am your host. My name is Matt George. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter, which means I get to attend and cover Kings games, home games that is, and being back in the Golden 1 Center, watching basketball taking place on the floor, even though it was meaningless preseason basketball, it was a breath of fresh air, and I was very encouraged by the crowd that was there. Normally, preseason tickets, of course, discounted significantly cheaper than regular season tickets, and sometimes it's hard to get up and get excited and get out to downtown Sacramento and the Golden 1 Center for games like that, but the Sacramento Kings fans, man, they're just starved for basketball. So there was a good showing last night as a big fan base got to watch the Kings show significant improvement from the struggles that they faced in their first two preseason games against the Indiana Pacers in India. We are 2 weeks away, or a little less than 2 weeks away now, from the actual regular season opener when the Kings will face the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. But based off of everything that we saw in tonight's game, even if Phoenix wasn't at full strength, and even if the Suns didn't show their full range of tactics, neither did the Sacramento Kings. The Kings weren't at full strength themselves, and they still looked very comfortable. The Kings should win on opening night in Phoenix. The Kings should come home and take on the Portland Trailblazers for the home opener 1-0. They're clearly the better team with the more talented roster, and that was very apparent in last night's game, even though we did not nearly see the Kings at their best. So we're going to break down this game here in just a second. Also going to spend a lot of time today talking about former Phoenix Sun, now new Sacramento Kings big man Rashawn Holmes. I love this guy. What he brings to the table, how he plays, the energy, the hustle, and the guy that he is off the court in the locker room. He's just a full package of what the Kings want and need, and Kings players said as much after the game. I'm going to be sharing some of those quotes with you, as well as just a general discussion of what Rashawn Holmes brings to this team, the difference that he makes, not just in the stat sheet or in the scoring column, but just overall what he does, things that don't show up on the stat sheet, and how he helps even the brightest of stars like De'Aaron Fox on this Kings team, how he helps their offensive game open up and thrive even more than we maybe expected when the Kings went out and got him. So, going to be discussing that. Also, Kings and Jazz, the next preseason game in Utah. That game is on Monday. We will have no Locked On Kings podcast before that game, so we'll be previewing that very, very briefly towards the end of the podcast here this morning. We'll be back on Tuesday of next week to break down that game and get ready for the Kings and Melbourne United, an Australian team that's coming into the Golden 1 Center for the final preseason game before the Kings prepare to open up the regular season in Phoenix once again against the Suns. So lots to talk about. Let's dive right in. And if you see a final score, even if it's preseason, and you see the Kings opponents only with 88 points, first thing that jumps into your mind is, wow, the Kings had a good defensive showcase. And that was the case. And the first thing I want to focus on actually is the kind of negative offensive numbers for the Kings in this contest, because like I mentioned earlier, they were not nearly at their best on the offensive end of the floor. The good news was they continued to shoot a high volume of three-pointers. This time they shot 31. They've been hovering in between that 33 to 35 range. This game just 31 three-pointers. I say just, it's definitely an improvement over last year. but they only cashed in on 11 of them. Now, anytime you can finish with double digits in three-pointers made, it's a good thing. However, the Kings got a lot of good looks from both three-point range and from around the rim that just did not drop. Offensively, the shooting was not there for the Kings. And that's a genuine concern for this squad going into next season. And last season, we saw a handful of games where if the shots weren't falling for the Kings, they were kind of SOL. They were screwed. Their game plan kind of ran into a brick wall, and they had nothing to lean on to get them through those shooting slumps, which would often result in them giving up large runs to either allow teams back into games or for them just to fall behind by too much with not enough time to make their way out of the hole. The Kings last year were not able to lean on their defense when the shots weren't falling, and that was an issue that Luke Walton looked to correct when he came in here and took over as head coach of the Sacramento Kings. But overall, the Kings shot 41% from the field, 35% from three-point range, so certainly not their best when we've seen this squad hit over 50% from the field and around 40% from three-point range in the past. But defensively, they were able to make up for it. The Kings looked so sharp on the defensive end, and it wasn't locked down by any means, but it was just consistently good off-ball help, good rotation, making sure shots were contested, and not allowing just easy lanes and backdoor cuts to the basket, which is a monumental difference for this squad. Phoenix shot 31% from the field, 18% from three-point range. Their best scorer, Devin Booker, who we know has torched the Kings offensively in the past, did finish with 18 points, but it took him 16 shots to do it. He went 6 of 16 from the field, including 2 of 6 from three-point range. He also went 4 of 4 from the free throw line. I was very impressed for the most part with Buddy Hield's on-ball defense. Now, again, Hield is not a lockdown defender, but one area that Hield has struggled, especially against elusive scoring guards, is just being able to simply stay in front of them enough to get a hand in their face and contest the shot. And Buddy Hield was consistently able to do that. But when he was beat with that quick first step, or when there was an off-ball screen, or even an on-ball screen, the rotation help by the Kings was there. And that was led, really, by Harrison Barnes. He did a phenomenal job rotating, as did Dwayne Dedmon. Dedmon himself finished with a blocked shot. We had multiple Kings finishing with blocked shots, one for Dedmon, one for Bagley, two for De'Aaron Fox, and also one for Nemanja Bjelica. And Rashawn Holmes didn't finish with any blocked shots, but he finished with a boatload of change shots. And those should show up on the scoring column, but they don't. But that's when Holmes had his hands up. Dedmon did this as well. They had their hands up, taking away the clear shooting lane where guards and bigs had to get elusive and switch hands and try little trick shots off of the backboard or things like that just to get the ball away from the defender. And that makes a massive, massive difference, something that the Kings consistently did not have at all last season. So the defense was on point, the shots were not falling, and the Kings were able to lean on and rely on their defense to get them through that. And I asked Buddy Hield about that last night, how much of a positive it is and how encouraging it is when he and the rest of the Kings scorers aren't consistently hitting their shots, that they have that all five bought in defensive mentality to carry them through those dry slumps. And he told me that he was very encouraged by that. I have a kind of abbreviated quote here that I ended up tweeting out that I'm trying to scroll down to on my Twitter timeline. It says, he said that it shows a lot that the Kings were able to make their way through the game and rely on their defense when the shots weren't falling. He said, "We were a team that struggled on defense last year. We got stops and everybody bought in." And I think that's the key. Buddy Hield talking about the fact that even the scorers, even the offensive-minded players, the offensive leaders of this team that aren't known for their defense, were bought in and did everything that they could defensively to make sure that they were able to maintain the early lead that the Kings built. They were up by 17 points at one point. The game came back to within 6. The Suns got it close in the third quarter. There were way too many fouls in this game. The game just dragged on and on as the Suns ended up getting to the line 34 times. But the Kings were able to weather that storm, once again create separation, and win this game relatively comfortably. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that everybody defensively had bought in. The two major struggles that the Kings had in India in these first two preseason games that had a lot of, or some fans panicking, most just relatively and noticeably concerned, was rebounding and defense. And the Kings corrected both of those in this game. Now, how much is it the Kings making the right corrections, and how much is it the Phoenix Suns not being as good as the Indiana Pacers? It's a fair argument. It's a fair balance. I'm sure that it would have been different, or maybe the numbers wouldn't have been as dominant in the Kings' favor had they taken on the Pacers again or a better team. But at this point, I don't care. Any opponent at home, you want to see the Kings put up the numbers that they did. And rebounding, there was tremendous improvement. The Kings were absolutely dominated on the glass in both games by, if I'm not mistaken, around 16 and 15 rebounds in each of the first two games of the preseason against the Pacers. In this game, they out-rebounded their opponents, the Suns, 59-43, and that includes the Suns having one of the best defensive young players and rebounding young players in the game, and DeAndre Ayton, who finished with just three rebounds. But Marvin Bagley was all over the glass. He only played 24 minutes, and he only played 24 minutes, and he finished with 13 rebounds. He had 12 of them really in his first about 18 to 19 minutes of play. Marvin Bagley was very active on the glass, which was really encouraging to Luke Walton, and he said so as much in his post-game press conference. The last thing that I really want to touch on in a major takeaway from here of this game is we got to finally see in person, or at least I got to see in person, the impact that Dwayne Dedmon has as a center that can work around the rim and also can shoot and space the floor on offense, and the pick and roll opportunities that the Kings have with that Dwayne Dedmon versatility, to where I saw pick and rolls, Dedmon setting a pick for Fox, Fox working his way to the rim, and Dedmon was right there with him cutting, and Fox was able to hand it off for Dedmon to finish around the rim. I also saw Dedmon do a pick and pop where he stepped out to the three-point line and forced his man to decide, am I going to help on Fox or am I going to make sure that Dedmon doesn't get an open three? When he decided to help on Fox, Fox got one of his six assists, kicking out to Dedmon for an open three, which Dedmon hit. And then when he decided to leave Fox, Fox was able to get to the rim, get fouled, and get to the line. So just the difference of having a center like Dedmon who can run the pick and roll and the pick and pop, who's effective both around the rim and from three-point range, it opens up Fox's game so much, and I'm sure he appreciates that. Rashawn Holmes makes a major difference in pick and roll as well, even though he's not as versatile as a shooter. I'm going to just gush about this guy here in just a second. But before that, want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. You can start your style upgrade now with $30 off of your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, all one word, at checkout. Shot blocking, rebounding, pick and rolls, alley-oops, energy, hustle, and a positive attitude. That's what Rashawn Holmes brings every single night that he plays. And yes, we've only seen him play three games in a Kings uniform, but we saw him absolutely abuse the Kings in a Suns uniform last year. Rashawn Holmes is a piece that the Kings have been missing and wanting for a long, long time. And we saw in person the difference that he makes. He is quickly going to become, if he's not already, a fan favorite in Sacramento. Just what he brings is so, you can't measure it. And sometimes the stat sheet, actually most of the time, like I mentioned with his ability to change shots, the stat sheet doesn't tell the whole story of what this guy does. Here's the reality. The Kings paid him the money that they paid him, even though it was a team-friendly contract. They paid him the money that they paid him to play. And we thought when he was coming in, maybe there would be some stiff competition between him and Harry Giles for minutes. And you know, there very well might be. And there may be a stretch of games where Holmes isn't playing as much so Giles and Bielitsa can get more minutes. A lot of it depends on matchups. But it's going to be very, very hard for the Kings and Luke Walton to decide to keep Rashawn Holmes off the floor if he keeps bringing and playing with the hustle and energy that he played with last night against the Phoenix Suns. Let's just start with the pick and roll difference that he makes. First off, he checked into the game around the midway point of the first quarter, maybe closer to the to three quarters into the first quarter, if that makes sense. And he checked in with Bogdan Bogdanović, who's one of my picks for a Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Immediately, and I mean immediately, first possession with two of them into the game, Bogey throws a lob, a pick and roll lob, to Rashawn Holmes for the alley-oop dunk. It was so good to see. And the two of them have already established a pretty significant chemistry. They were working off of each other very, very well. We know how smart Bogey is as a ball carrier and as someone who is always looking to not just score the basketball, but dish the rock when he can. We saw him really bring out some of the best in Willie Cauley-Stein last season, over the last couple of seasons, and that relationship seems to have only blossomed even more now with Rashawn Holmes here immediately in just a few games. So I'm excited to see what the two of them can do together. Rashawn Holmes just had a solid game. Played 20 minutes exactly. Finished with 11 points, 6 rebounds. Did have 4 personal fouls, but I like the aggressiveness that he played with. And again, no block shots, but a crap ton of altered shots. And that makes all the difference, replacing a lengthy athletic center in Willie Cauley-Stein, who frustrated a lot of Kings fans because he didn't necessarily defend with his hands and keep his hands up to alter shots. So even if Holmes didn't end up blocking shots in this game, with the wingspan that he has, the athleticism that he has, his lateral quickness as well as his vertical quickness, he was able to help on defense, he was able to cover his man, and just take away a lot of sure lanes to the rim. He altered a number of Devin Booker's looks as Booker tried to work his way into the paint and make his way to the free throw line. So it's very, very encouraging to see the Kings have a consistent shot blocker and rebounder like Holmes with that second unit. And I fully anticipate him to play a majority, if not every single game, for the Kings in that off-the-bench energy, defense, and rebounding type role. And he was a major reason why the Kings were able to continue their rebounding dominance with the second unit coming into the game when Marvin Bagley and Dwayne Dedmon would check out. The Kings leaned heavily on Holmes as that backup big, and he delivered. He did not disappoint. I was really excited to actually speak with Holmes after the game, and I approached him after his media session was done, and I just wanted to chat with him and let him know that working at KHDK and working here on the Locked On Kings podcast, I get the opportunity to interact with a lot of Kings fans, and many of you have expressed to me how excited you are to have Holmes here. You love the way that he plays. So I thought I'd share that with him, just kind of an off-the-record thing, and he had a massive smile on his face. He says he's felt the love already from Kings fans, and he's excited to play for this squad and give his all every single night. He told the media that he's excited to make playoffs, the dream of playoffs for this group, a reality. He genuinely believes, as the squad believes, that they can make that happen this year. And if they're going to make the playoffs, he's going to have to be a major difference maker. And he's already showing his ability to be that. I wanted to share with you a few quotes from the post-game press conferences last night, because I thought that they were pretty telling and encouraging how much praise that he garnered from some of the Kings. First off, Luke Walton was talking about Bogdan Bogdanović and Rashawn Holmes' chemistry that's quickly evolving on the floor. He said he's not surprised by it. He says he knows Bogdan Bogdanović is a very talented, smart, and skilled player, and he also knew that Rashawn and Bogey could be a great weapon for us. I'm pleased to see that it's working out. That was Luke Walton on Bogey and Holmes' chemistry that is developing. De'Aaron Fox was asked about Rashawn Holmes and what he brings, and De'Aaron Fox had nothing but love for him. He says he comes out and he plays with energy. He blocks shots, grabs rebounds, and I love playing with him. Buddy Hield had one of the best quotes and one of my favorite quotes of the night. When asked about Rashawn Holmes, Hield said, "I loved him. I told Vlade that we should get him. I love the way that he plays. He gets after it. He is the missing piece that will help us go far. And there are more quotes about Holmes as well as more quotes from Holmes himself that you can see on my Twitter account right now at MattGeorgeKHDK. Be sure to follow that. Interact with me on there if you have any Kings questions, any comments on the podcast or any Kings games, anything like that, or just want to get a hold of me. That is the best way to do it. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I am a Rashawn Holmes fan. I'm very excited to see what he can do throughout the course of this entire season in Sacramento. And I think he is going to be someone that Kings fans are going to love and appreciate, not just for all 82 games, but hopefully for more seasons to come. I would love to see him develop into a long-term piece and fit for this Kings squad. So the Kings take on the Utah Jazz in Utah on Monday. And if you remember, the Kings and the Jazz played a preseason game in the Golden 1 Center last year, and the Kings were absolutely demolished. Now, once the regular season came about and the two teams met, games were a lot closer. Kings looked a lot better. But can we not sit through, even if it is on the road, can we not sit through another one of those just demolishings at the hand of Utah, please? I'd just like to insert that request really, really quick. But the Utah Jazz, in my opinion, have gotten a lot better. In fact, I've picked them as one of my top three seeds in the Western Conference. I love the addition of Mike Conley. I love the addition of Bojan Bogdanovic to add scoring and floor spacing. And then you know how big of a fan I am of Rudy Gobert, the defense that he brings and how important defense is. To be successful, especially in this Western Conference, teams are going to need to know how to play defense, and that is what Utah prides themselves on, and that is their anchor. That is their foundation, and Rudy Gobert, of course, is right at the center of that. Rudy Gobert, in my opinion, above and beyond the best defensive big and maybe the best defensive player in all of the NBA. He deserves more recognition, especially as an all-star, than what he has gotten over the last couple of years. Of course, Donovan Mitchell entering his third season now, the dynamic scorer that he is. We all know what he can do. The Jazz are just poised to be a very, very fun, exciting, and dominant team. So if they come out and they beat the Kings in preseason in Utah, I'm not going to make a massive deal about it, although this will be a good test. I expect the young Kings to get a significant amount of playing time as well as the preseason really wraps up and we start looking towards the start of the regular season. So I'm anxious to watch that game and follow that game, and of course, we will be discussing that game in detail on Tuesday's episode next week of the Locked On Kings podcast. Also wanted to let you know that we are going to be recording the Fans Only 5, the international version of Fans Only next week, and that will air the week of opening day and opening night. So that's 2 weeks from now before the regular season kicks off. We'll be airing that episode. Also, Dave Deuce Mason, who is a Sacramento Kings employee, former KHDK employee. You know him from the Deuce and Mo podcast. Does a lot of media work, great media work with the Kings. He was in India with the squad, and he's going to be nice enough to join me next week. Hopefully we're able to work it out, that he can join me and share with us not just what it was like to watch the games and the actual basketball that took place in India, but what the trip was like as a whole for the Kings organization and the players themselves, as Deuce spent a lot of time with them. So he's going to be joining me next week for that. You have that to look forward to. And then for those consistent podcast listeners that love your Kings content and can't get enough of it, be excited the week of opening night and opening day. So 2 weeks, we will return to daily podcast episodes. Now, I can't guarantee for the entire season that every single day, Monday through Friday, we will have a podcast. Sometimes there's complications or sickness or off days, things like that. But we go from the 2 to 3 podcast a week format that we do during the off season that we've been through over the last couple of months back to 5 days a week for the most part, Monday through Friday, daily Sacramento Kings podcasts here on the Locked On Kings podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. So you have that to look forward to, that content coming back for you very, very soon. And I'm excited to pop this mic at the KHDK Studios and record these every single morning as the regular season gets underway. Sound good to you? I'm looking forward to it. Until next time, have yourself a fantastic weekend. My name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.